And it is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location. Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. ToyotaofHollywood.com.
Well, there's a few things going on here, kind of leading off sports from yesterday. Kyle Krabs, host of Locked On Fins and A to Z Sports. Kyle, you've had a few hours now, including a little sleep, to had a chance to kind of digest everything that took place. What were your thoughts about Jalen Ramsey and Jonnu Smith going to the Steelers for Minkah Fitzpatrick?
Well, I hope Tyreek didn't work too long on that full court press PowerPoint presentation for Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah, I don't think he got there. I think it was too late. He had it all set up. I think he had everybody together by Friday, by 4th of July. He couldn't do it. He didn't get done.
Yeah, it really is an interesting trade from a number of layers, because you don't see a lot of player for player, and then the way that the information started rolling out, where it was Ramsey, and then it was Ramsey for Minkah, and then Jonnu was a part of the original reporting, made it seem like it was a separate deal, and then it's all together. I kind of choose to look at it as two separate moves, the Minkah for Jalen one-for-one swap, once you consider what each of those guys was owed this year on their pre-existing contracts. And then Miami, they ate another $3 million of salary. It nearly made the salary, like the cash commitment for each team, like Minkah plus the $3 million versus Ramsey minus the $3 million. It was almost a one-for-one.
Yeah,
and,
good point.
You know,
yeah.
I think from that perspective, that's how I'm choosing to process that part of the trade. And then, you know, I did a 10-year look back at tight end trades, and about a future five with a seven and Jonnu for a 30-year-old tight end who's going to get a 200% pay raise. That's about what you would expect from the history of trade value at that position. So I think each one of the individual compartments checks out once you consider the cash element of Minkah and Jalen, and how that was such a problematic part of the Dolphins finding what they felt was appropriate value. And this is that tightrope walk of trying to give yourselves a chance to compete in the here and now, but also getting yourself more healthy long-term with a long-term scope, and that's what I think they did.
So is there a winner in this? I hear everybody going back and forth. And by the way, our fan base pretty split on this too. Some are saying, well, Jalen Ramsey and Jonnu Smith were really good players, and now we got a big drop-off at those positions, and they're just looking at it, you know, point just of we don't have other guys at those positions nearly as good. And Minkah Fitzpatrick coming helps your secondary a lot, because I think he's going to be the quarterback back there helping a lot. I think he and Zach Sealer are going to be really important to this with young guys around him this year.
Yeah, for sure. And the thing about Jalen is, you know, he wasn't playing here, right? Like,
it was done. Yes,
the book was closed. So it's you either get like a fifth round pick and pay twice as much cash for Jalen Ramsey to just move him for a draft pick, or you can put him in as a part of a larger deal like this, and you can get a player back who is younger and maybe has more runway left in their career. Although, you know, where Jalen ultimately ends up playing in Pittsburgh, I think he could be a really good safety like Charles Woodson deep into his 30s. So, like, who knows on that regard? But the point being, he didn't want to play here. He wasn't going to play here. So when you look at it through that lens, it's like, well, what can you get? And
right.
You know, I know a lot of Dolphins fans that were of the, at least from what I have been able to keep up with, that were of the, well, you have the leverage because he's under contract, so tell him to suck it up and play here. Like, that leverage wasn't going to play either. And I don't think the Dolphins, in that head-to-head scenario, for a player who has worked his way from team to team and kind of been very selective and hands-on in choosing where he wants to go play, like Jalen Ramsey has been, you weren't going to win that tug of war. Like, he missed games in 2019 with Jacksonville until he got his trade facilitated to go to the Rams. So in a perfect world, and I've heard this elsewhere last night, in a perfect world, I think it was Armando Salguero with the Fish Tank guys who said this, in a perfect world, yeah, Jalen Ramsey and the Dolphins could have figured it out. But that being the case, okay, you made the best of what this opportunity could afford you by getting a player back who can be an impactful player. and now you know what your cash budget is based off your savings. And, you know, Jonnu got $12 million. So that's $8 million that you ended up not paying for what it would have had to be to get Jonnu done. But it's $4 million out the door. And then you're saving a grand total of $6 or so million, six and a half when this is all said and done. So go sign a free agent. It's been reported they're calling about tight ends. We don't play a game on Sunday. Like,
yeah.
This being the first domino, knowing that they're not done, I'm like, okay, I think this, with what you had to work with, is a pretty, pretty respectable pivot that you could make.
Everybody that knows Jalen Ramsey and knows the history of Jalen Ramsey didn't think he was going to come back and be a good soldier. Nobody thought he's going to fit. Everybody around him, he was going to make it aware of how he felt every day. So you knew. Now, he probably would have played. I mean, but the fact that Mike didn't want him around, think about that. Like, Mike didn't want him around.
And Mike McDaniel, of all people.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. Hey, so let me ask you. We know about this, Jalen Ramsey. Jonnu Smith, we don't have a replacement as a pass-receiving tight end. So I've been getting a lot of this. Well, Joe, the tight end's not going to be as important because we're going to get our offense going outside a lot more, so Jonnu wouldn't have been as big a part. And I just think it's taken away from how good he is physically, athletically, that he had that year. It wasn't by accident that he was caught and we were down 30 every game and he was catching five balls at the end of the game when everybody was in a prevent defense. The guy was really good. How do you replace him? Or do you need to, or can you make it up on the outside?
Yeah, I don't want to be dismissive of how good Jonnu Smith was, because he really was a quality option for you in the passing game, and kind of his role and how he fit within all those other pieces was, you know, I do think he benefited from the spacing that this offense created with guys like 10 and 17. And I'll be interested to see how seriously they push to put somebody else in and find somebody with a transaction, because I don't think you're going to find anybody remotely close from a free agency perspective. So maybe you can facilitate a trade with a team that has a surplus to get something similar, and then maybe you're just not putting 110 targets on that guy's plate. And if not, then I think you have to imagine that from a spacing perspective, this is probably going to fall back onto Devon Achane probably even more, which I think puts the other running backs in the spotlight for being able to shoulder some of the load from a rushing perspective so that you're not overworking Devon Achane. But a lot of these opportunities that Jonnu got beyond the quick perimeter screen game is the stuff underneath that you're getting because teams are playing so deep with their zone landmarks because you don't want the speed guys running by him. That becomes, if you play a little bit more of a traditional like spacing style offense, I think that creates space for the check down underneath to the back. And, you know, you get your pre-snap look. Okay, they're lined up at 14 yards. Oh, they're backpedaling. Okay, let's get the ball quickly underneath to the back and create the space that way. So I think there's a couple of different ways, depending on personnel and play structure and formation structure, that you can find attractive options to get the ball to underneath. But it's really going to depend on, I think, what opportunities they have to maybe pivot at tight end versus putting the load on some of the other players at other positions.
Julian Hill, I guess, gets more receptions. Let me ask you, Tanner Connor's back for a fourth year, and I know he's athletic. They're still talking about how athletic he is. He's bigger. He's changed some things in his life to his eating, his workout, the whole deal. You think they're thinking he's the closest thing, at least athletically, to Jonnu Smith? You think they give him a chance to play?
I'm sure there will be, as is the case at a number of other positions across the roster, there will be opportunity, and who makes the most of that opportunity will get the first crack at playing when you start playing for keeps. I would just not expect that Tanner Connor wins the bulk of the opportunities. You know, I'll believe that one when I see it personally. Now, I think the big question for me is, do you want to be more of a obviously they're very 21 personnel heavy on first downs, which is with the fullback on the field and one tight end and then a running back. So you got two backs and a tight end on the field. Do you want to be more 12 personnel, which is two tight ends where you have your inline player and then it was Jonnu Smith? Do you want to be better in 11 personnel, but that puts more pressure on the offensive line, but they've upgraded the interior of the offensive line and they have guys that they probably feel pretty good at based off their investments, and it's a question of how big a leaps that they take at tackle. I think the Malik Washington, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine in particular as the big-bodied wide receiver, I think he can do some things to maybe blur the line a little bit between 11 and 12 personnel because of how physical he is and how big of a body he is that – you look at the different flavors of this offense that exist across the league, be it in San Francisco, where obviously all the guys got their shot under Shanahan, and the Rams with Sean McVay, the Rams are almost exclusively 11 personnel versus the 49ers are more 21 and 12. And I think that for me is I also look at the wide receiver room and ask, hey, is it just going to be either Julian or Pharaoh Brown, who I think has a higher floor as an inline player and a blocker right now. If you're going to go that way, I think you have even more options to figure out who that extra skill player is and ways to implement them. So it really will be interesting to me to see, you know, they obviously made the Westbrook and Westbrook-Ikhine on a two-year deal, and Malik Washington they should feel excited about based off the flashes he had in the second half of the year as a rookie last year. They're going to have a lot of different ways they can go about this.
Hey, so Fitzpatrick, one interception in the last 27 games, the last 2 years. You concerned with that after all the interceptions he had when he first joined that Steelers team was all pro?
Yeah, I think, you know, you're getting a guy. I think safeties can age a little bit more gracefully, and I do think Pittsburgh played him exclusively in the high post.
In center
a
field.
Lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that at times can, especially if you're faced with having to make plays on balls outside the numbers down the field and or trying to drive on throws, but you're pedaling out of the post and then you got to drive on crossers and deep ends. And those can be some steep landmarks. So on one hand, I do feel like interceptions is kind of an unstable statistic year over year. But I don't think it's a coincidence that the numbers dropped the way that they did. I do think with how Miami's defense works with Anthony Weaver and a lot of the simulated pressures, and then I think the interchangeability that exists with Minka's versatility and Ifeatu Melifonwu's versatility as a former college corner, I think you could play a lot of games with those guys and make the safety rotation tell some pre-snap lies and maybe get him closer to intermediate throwing windows where maybe those instincts can shine a little bit more. So I'm not totally sweating the ball production, but at the same time, it is worth noting, you know, he's a player that is entering into kind of the tail end of what you would perceive his prime to be. And with the dip in production, you do kind of look at it with a side eye in that regard.
You know what? I remember his first year, how good he was in the slot as a cover guy. Just incredible how good he was, the way he used it. Now, I don't know what happened, but in year two, he did not like the way he was being used. I mean, to the point when you start going, not only do I not like it, get me out of here now. I want out. Remember, everybody's brother, anybody involved in the Dolphins, from the owner to the family, they had everybody calling. He goes, nope, I want to, I can't play for this guy. So I wonder, and Weaver's so good with everybody. I'm curious to see how he's going to use them so they can get the most out of him. Could you see him in a slot like that rookie year, or those days long gone?
I think the thing with Minka is, you know, he wanted to be used a certain way under Coach Flores, and then he goes to Pittsburgh, and by the end of his first year in Pittsburgh, he's like, yeah, I'd love to find more ways to be down closer to the ball.
Yeah, right. to be support, and now it's like, yeah, now I get it. The Steeler thing, it's okay. Yeah.
So I think leaning into his versatility and allowing him to kind of be a multiple defensive back, I think is the key to getting the most out of him. And I do think that the safety roles, you can even go big nickel now with three safeties on the field. And with Minka and Melifonwu as two of your three safeties that have big time coverage appeal for what they can do, roll down and in the slot, I think it gives you a lot to work with. And I think for Minka, it's just putting all of that on his plate and really leaning into his football IQ and allowing him to be a defensive weapon for you and not pigeonholing him into, well, you're going to be our Patrick Chung.
Yeah. I think Ashton Davis, that's funny you said that, could be involved in this defense. Another guy with experience that's played a lot of snaps with the Jets. Anyway, yeah, so overall, because I'm telling you, it's right down the – like, oh, and by the way, we do leave two holes with those guys being gone. And I know one we've known about, for a long, long time was going to happen, and now it's official, which means more opportunity, and you still believe that we're going to get a veteran corner and a veteran tight end coming in here?
I feel pretty good about a corner. I think tight end, it might have to be the right opportunity. And if you don't get that, then those young guys in the room plus Farrow will get opportunities. And then it's really just a question of your formation adjuster, your F player within the offense. Is that a wide receiver? Is that a tight end? Is that a second running back? I think they'd like to find the right kind of skill set to put in there.
Right.
But you're not guaranteed the opportunity, whereas I think a corner with the veterans that are still out there on the free agent market, you will be guaranteed, in my opinion, the opportunity if you want one to add a veteran corner.
You feel good in Atlanta or in Vegas with a couple of those tight ends that look like you could have them, you could trade for them?
I wouldn't be too interested in Kyle Pitts just because the price point there is a day two draft choice is what they're reportedly asking for.
That's too much.
For a guy that's on a fifth-year option and it's fully guaranteed and it's like $10.8 million. And it's like, at that point, I'd rather just not done the pick swap for the Jonnu Smith thing and pay Jonnu Smith as a guy you got proof of concept in the offense. If it's, I mean, you're talking about $1.2 million, less than $1.2 million in savings versus if you just paid Jonnu. So the price point plus the pick cost for a guy who's on a one-year deal for me, I'm out on Pitts. I think if you could get Michael Mayer, depending on what the ask is there, I think that's the right kind of tree to be barking up because he has 2 years left on his rookie contract. He's owed less than $3.5 million over the next two seasons combined.
Right.
So that plus, the question is the draft choice. Now the Raiders could say, yeah, we made a regime change, but he is on a rookie contract, so that might cost a little bit more than maybe what you would expect based off his production through 2 years. But that would be the right kind of player in my mind to be calling on.
All right, Kyle. So just like when you got up this morning, because you and I talked yesterday, did you feel good about what just happened or not? What was your feeling? I see our fan base is all over the place on this. We're not sure how to feel.
I want guys who want to be here. Right.
Well, I agree, by the way.
I understand Jonnu Smith wanted to be here, but I think the economics of that I get. But the bigger picture of having the Ramsey saga closed with a player who didn't want to be here after he held your feet to the fire for two contracts in 2 years, and then, oh, by the way, still managed to finesse a raise out of the Steelers.
Yeah.
He got three raises
God bless
in 3 years.
Yeah.
Like good for you. It's good business if you can get it, but not having you can't sit here on one hand and complain about the culture of the Dolphins and then on the other hand also simultaneously want to have these kinds of players that you brought in and kind of lost the plot with a part of the organization. So
yeah.
I'm glad that part of this is done and over with.
Yeah, if you don't want to be here and you can't play by the rules, no matter how good you are, sometimes if you're toxic overall besides those 3 hours on the football field on a Sunday or a Monday night or a Thursday night, then I'm with you on that. By the way, how good is he right now? I hear guys all over the board on somebody going, well, he's still top five. And I go, I don't think he's top five as a cover corner anymore. Where do you have him right now overall in the league?
I think he's a top 10. But it's one of those things that, you know, you'd rather be out a year too early than a year too late.
I got you.
And I kind of what we're teetering on the brink with with Jalen. So I get it.
All right, you said top 10. You broke up on me a little bit. You said he's still right there at about a top 10 corner?
Yeah, I think he's a fringe top 10 corner still. And again, if he's willing to live inside in the slot and play safety, I think he can continue to be a really strong defensive weapon. But we didn't see that in Miami. He played outside corner, and I know part of that was, oh, well, Vic didn't let him travel in 23. But
I don't think they're going to put up.
Overwhelmingly played outside corner when it was all said and done across his entire time in Miami.
I don't think they're going to have to deal with some of the stuff we did. I think with the guys around him in Pittsburgh and that head coach, I think they'll get, at least for a while, a little different Jalen Ramsey. Do you agree or no?
I would assume so, right? Yeah. He's coming in with the pay raise, and it's a new team, and it's a fresh start. And the question is, when you get the adversity that builds up after X amount of time, what's his psychology for you then? And we saw what it was in Miami.
Yeah, good point. Hey, always great having you, Kyle. Thank you so much, bud. Appreciate it.
Of course, Joe.
All right, Kyle Krabs, host of Locked On Fins and A to Z Sports. Always great stuff every day that he puts out there. Kind of like going to your South Florida Chevy dealers. Always great stuff. Always great products. Hey, 4th of July weekend's coming up, and I got a good idea. Before you go on that vacation in late July, early August, before everybody's going back to school, and you're looking for something big and comfortable, well, we got a Chevy SUV absolutely perfect for you. Where do I start? The all-new Equinox, huh? Maybe not only the all-new Equinox, maybe the electric Equinox SUV? With all that space for you and your family and your friends and your cargo, we got you covered. What a great look, too, man. You can't go wrong. Hey, the 2025 Traverse, I call it the Mini Tahoe. It really is. It's got so much room, and what a fantastic look with that 2.5-liter engine. And I got to take it, since it is almost 4th of July, and that means pack up the SUV and get ready to travel, you got to check out the Tahoes and Suburbans. Oh, my gosh, so much space, so comfortable. Right over to a Silverado truck. Now, if you have to work during 4th of July, might as well have a strong, durable truck that'll work for you that you can depend on every day. Man, we make a Silverado truck perfect for you. So before we get to 4th of July, stop by. We got 14 dealerships throughout South Florida. See your South Florida Chevy dealer today for outstanding offers going on right now. Hey, welcome back. Good morning. A lot of news. Well, I'll tell you what. Bill Zito just, once again, does not take a backseat to any general manager in professional sports right now. He really doesn't. He just doesn't take a backseat. He said, there's a chance I can sign all three guys. Now, I got limited money, but I think they like it here. They're all saying the right things. I know their agent's job is to get them as much money as they can. Let me see what I can do. That guy, before the start of free agency, which is today, was able to get all three guys back. Incredible. There were big offers for Aaron Ekblad out there. He goes, no. Took an 8-year deal to stay. Marchand took a long-term deal to stay here at 37. And, of course, Sam Bennett was the first guy to sign for a long, long time. And this thing was about keeping the core together and trying to do something that hasn't been done very often. Three-peat. Hell, anybody can do two, but three. Joke. That was a joke. We don't. It's hard enough to win a champion. Hell, it's hard enough to go to a championship game. Hey, sometimes hard to win a playoff game around here. But, boy, I'll tell you what. Those guys, getting them back together and wanting to be here, and the assist from Tkachuk and the rest of those guys, and Ekblad's attitude the whole time, and he wasn't just talking it, he was walking it. This is where I want to be. There's no better organization. I think they got rid of the marketing department. They're just using Aaron Ekblad. They use that just to go out and sell it with fans and sponsors, and it was incredible, man. This thing is, everything about it is great. Living here, organization, front office, the way we're treated every day, the staff. Boy, it's amazing. when you got it rolling. And so he got them all back. Bill Zito got everyone to come back. And we had heard Marchand had a good offer in Toronto. Now Boston said, hey, we kind of like to have you back, man. You know, we kind of messed up maybe and gave up on you. Hell, we didn't know you were going to get healthy and play like that in the playoffs. Come on back. And I'm sure Brad Marchand said, kiss my ass. It's a little too late for that. No, I'm not doing that. I'm out. Now, that Toronto thing might have been interesting to him. I don't know. You know, money talks, right? I mean, money does talk. But these guys, man, said there's enough money, long term, less per year, but it's enough money to end our careers and a chance to win more of these damn rings because this is fun. That first few weeks after the season has got to be fun. Or every day you wake up, you're a champion. Every day you wake up with a hangover, you're a champion. Amazing. Back-to-back years, three straight trips to the Stanley Cup, and now the favorite to do it again. So I just want to put that out there, man. I had to put that out there. Bill Zito, man. Bill Zito. My gosh. My gosh, was that good. And the other part has got a lot of different parts to it. And everybody is taking a while to digest it. Some of you love it. Some of you don't. The Jalen Ramsey thing is a divorce your parents should have told you about a long time ago because it happened. And it was no surprise. And if it was, you had blinders on. His ass was not coming back. It was over. Whatever it is, we can only guess. I mean, you could put 12 or 14 things together and you hit on it. It can only be a certain amount of things why Mike said, you're done here. And Jalen goes, good, I don't want to be here. Well, you don't have to worry. We're getting your ass out of here. Even with all that guaranteed money. Even if we have to, we'll pay some of it to get you out of here. And so that's kind of how the trade started. And then Jonnu Smith found out he was not getting a raise to stay here, at least a raise it he was comfortable with, gets traded with Jalen Ramsey. 1 year, $12 million extension. So he went from $4 to $12 million for him. Hell, Jalen Ramsey, not only did Dolphins have to throw $3 million in, I think that was probably glad it was only $3 million, by the way, with the draft picks too, that were involved for both teams, a 5 and a 7. Dolphins get the 5 and Steelers get the 7. But you get Minkah Fitzpatrick back. Starting safety has been a big part of their defense for a few years. Since, by the way, of course, we let him go in a trade. Didn't want to be here. That was one of the weird ones too. Probably it'll be brought up now that he's coming back. But, boy, when he checked out, he checked out. It wasn't like – he was like, no, I got to get out of here. Whatever you asked him to do in support or not playing what he felt was where he was best suited, or maybe, I don't know if he thought, I can play longer. If I play this way, I'll be more productive. Whatever it was, it wasn't the game plan of Brian Flores. And when he said, I'm done here, he was done. Like, he went, no. I remember the owner tried to talk to him. They had anybody they thought liked him down here that tried to talk to him. And it was like, I got to get out of here. You got to trade me. And they did. A couple games into the second season, he was gone. That was it. It was too bad because he had a hell of a rookie year. The guy I remember playing here was a good first-round pick, and Chris really liked him. It's true. All that stuff is true. Chris, the one that stood up in the meeting and said, this is our guy. He's dropped. We're taking him. So he's back. He's back with his general manager, and we'll see how it goes. Now, for those of you on the other side going, well, it's great, Joe, that this thing couldn't work out with Jalen Ramsey and Jonnu Smith, but they're both really good players. Yes, they are. Hey, Kyle Crabbs just said he's a top 10 player. Top 10 at his position, right in there. And you start thinking about all the corners, that's still pretty damn good. No longer the top guy or the second top guy or third top guy, but he's still, I get it. He's still, he can play. Like, I trust him. He can cover that guy by himself out there. And Jonnu Smith's one of the best pass-receiving tight ends. I don't care what kind of offense we ran, he is really good. He's athletic, he can run, and he can catch. Don't remember him dropping too many footballs last year. When you kind of go through last year and think about drops, he's not one that comes to mind. He was a good player. So I understand. You got a hole, both positions. You got to find some corners. And you got to find, I think, a better pass-receiving tight end. But that's just me. So, but the deal to get Minka Fitzpatrick back, Jalen Ramsey, you were just trying to get. I thought you were going to have to throw in, honestly, $5-7 million with the deal, and you were hoping to get a fifth or a sixth-round pick back. That's what I thought originally for Jalen Ramsey. Now you throw in Jonnu Smith, who you realize we can't sign him. We're not spending any more money. So you get Jonnu Smith in there, and that allowed us to get Minka Fitzpatrick in this deal back. So that's kind
of makes it pretty good, right?
In my
opinion, I think the Dolphins got the better of this trade. Now, you know, with that being said, your mismanagement was the reason that you got to this point. So, like, I get it. Like, I'm not trying to, you know, prop Chris Greer up this morning or anything like that, because I think his body of work has been a disaster. But they did do well considering the circumstances.
So you're saying we shouldn't wait. You're telling everybody don't wait to see how Jalen Ramsey, Jonnu Smith, and Minka Fitzpatrick play this year. You're just saying.
No, I mean, it doesn't matter. Like, they did well considering the circumstances, right? You had a. So this could have gone the other way that this could have gone. I keep telling you, they could have traded Jalen right when he wanted to be out, right? They could have the knee-jerk reaction, say, all right, first team that gives us a fifth, you're gone.
No.
And then you would have gotten probably the same thing for Jonnu Smith. So you ended up getting a really good player back in this deal, which to me was kind of surprising. I don't know, Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh seems like anyone who's toxic can come play there, but.
No, that's not true. Now they got rid of a receiver that.
Oh yeah, that's right.
I don't know, you know, but
Aaron Rodgers and Jalen Ramsey should make a nice team together.
Oh, we'll see. Fun. We'll see how that goes. By the way, this Aaron Rodgers thing, man. Like, the guy got married. There's nobody in professional sports or that's a celebrity that's out there that everybody hasn't had a chance to see. Their wife, everywhere.
I like your theory on this, by the way.
I don't know if he's married.
You don't believe she exists. You think he's pulling a Manti Te'o.
And I could see him just going, with nobody's business whether I was or not. And if you found out, it's just weird. I thought somebody pop up somewhere with a picture of him walking somewhere. They must go to a restaurant or go to the gas station, or I'm trying to think what people have a lot of money. Still do. Go to a movie. Don't you do something where somebody sees you together and goes, oh, there's.
You're part of the sick society that he's talking about, man. Why do you care what he's got going on in his life? Let him do his, you know, hits on the most popular show on ESPN in peace.
By the way.
He just wants to be left alone, bro.
My man, what he did the last three, I got to see with this one. When he's done.
Maybe that's why he doesn't want the girl to come out. Because he's going to destroy her and he doesn't want any more bad press.
Tell you one thing.
What did those last girls say?
He destroyed us emotionally.
Yeah.
I don't know why I laugh. Oh, God.
Seems like a great guy.
He did it seemed like he did all the dumping, though, huh?
Yeah, I would think. He seems to be okay, yeah.
You know, it's like, but yesterday we seemed so good. We made love, we had a nice day, and now you get up in the morning and go, I'm done. And you go, what do you mean? You're done, you got to go, no, I'm done with this relationship. He walks out the door.
Doesn't he have a show today? Isn't that today?
I don't know.
But make sure you leave him, Joe, he does not want to be in the public eye. Only when he's doing his hits
or
when he's pumping his documentary on Netflix.
Remember the other thing? Remember Jets? He said, we got to learn to keep all our business in-house.
Yeah.
And then he's going on that show, like, talking about everybody.
Well, I think he was talking about his run for VP.
But he wasn't sure.
Yeah, well, yeah, he was up in the air on that.
By the way,
that didn't apply to him, by
the way.
No. That was for everybody else.
I got to tell you, man, he keeps giving. He's a gift that keeps giving. He keeps
giving. Is he going to go on there today and rant about how he wants to be left alone? Please keep paying me to do these hits, but, you know, please also leave me alone.
You know, quarterbacks have never been popular in Pittsburgh. I mean, it's not like it's a huge football town at all. No, he'll be fine. Hey, I want to tell you about my man Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage, man. Truly has no life. This man is always working. And I go, Michael, 36 years, man. All you do is, like, you're, like, always out there. And cause Joe, it's about getting mortgages, getting them quickly. Getting you the best rates, getting you qualified, and getting it done for you so you can move into that new place, man. First-time home buyer rates. Going to get you the lowest rates. If you're self-employed, you've been declined by banks. Michael Kotze's got a great program for you. I can just go across the board the things he's doing, from debt consolidation to reverse mortgages. You can go on and on. Matter of fact, if you're stuck in a condo right now and you're using credit cards to survive every month at 28, 29, 30%. Man, let Michael Kotze come in and take care of that and help your cash flow and help you get back upside the way you should be. Reverse mortgage, 62 or older, you qualify. I can go on and on about all the great work he does. Go to Google Reviews on the web, Choice Mortgage Reviews, and find out what people are saying about Michael Kotze. The man has no life. He's always working 7 days a week. You can call or text him and find out for yourself, 561-441-2730. MLS 166-254. Rates and terms subject to change. Daily without notice. He's an equal housing lender.
All right, before we get back to it here, I want to let you know we'll be talking football this week. Training camp is around the corner. Heat free agency, Panthers offseason moves. The Marlins keep up with everything else happening. You can download the free Odyssey app, and you can make the Joe Rose Show your favorite show. Or least favorite show.
It would mean a lot to me if you did.
Or at least.
If you did, it would really mean a lot if you...
You're all about life.
And I can guarantee I'll say something really stupid, and you go, oh, God, that guy's so dumb. So dumb. He says the dumbest stuff. He makes no sense. Yeah, we can go through the whole thing. By the way, we got the... I'm going to share something personal in my personal life. I don't like to do this, but I think it's time I do it.
Okay.
So this weekend... My nephew's getting married down in Miami, so.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You supposed to congratulate someone for a nephew?
Yeah. Okay. It's Ryan. Yeah, right. My boy Ryan, of course. I call him Neff Bro, so he's getting married to Mackenzie. Been together for a long, long time. I feel good about it. I do feel good about it, knowing, the good feeling. You know, sometimes you get a good feel. This is a really good feeling, so I feel good about it. And some of my buddies are going to be at the wedding, so it's going to be a blast. Really looking forward to it.
Your wife going?
So you know Darren Rizzi is Mackenzie's father.
I do.
So Rizzi in town, so we'll have a few. Be fun.
I'm just concerned, your wife's going to make a little bit of a scene out there, but...
Oh, no, I've already been coached up.
Really?
Oh, come on.
She got after you prior?
Oh, of course.
Nice.
My wife's the exact opposite. Quiet, just kind of out of everybody's business, and I'd come home and tell her something. I went to tell her about this trade yesterday, and I might as well have been talking about some soccer match over in Germany or something. She had no idea.
Yeah.
God bless her. And I realized, you know what, though? I stopped myself. You're not going to believe it. It wasn't just Ramsey. It was Jonnu Smith, too, for Minkah Fitzpatrick. He's coming back. And she goes, what are you talking about?
Yeah. This is exactly why you can't retire. Because this wouldn't go well at home.
No, I paused.
You did your talk show at home.
I paused, and I went, you know what? That's what I appreciate. So if I say, man, this guy's just doing a bad job. And she goes, who? And she listens. She'll just listen. She's a really good listener. All right. So anyway, we've got a lot more stuff to get to. Clayton McCullough, Marlins manager. Boy, I'll tell you what. They are I had a good feel. I said early in the season and, you know, some games were slipping away and they had that terrible series against Colorado. And I don't know what happened after that, but they started playing better. They beat the Atlanta Braves before they left, 2 out of 3. Then they go and they don't lose a friggin' game on the West Coast. They go out and beat the Giants 3 straight, take care of Arizona 3 straight. Got a bunch of guys hot right now. They're scoring a zillion runs. And so now, going to be home. I call it home for the holidays, man, for the 4th of July with the Twins, Minnesota Twins in town, Rod Carew's team, for 3. And then Milwaukee Brewers will be in town for 3 with the 4th of July and the fireworks and red, white, and brew and military appreciation and all the other cool stuff, including a ticket package for the Marlins USA shirt as well. So everybody go to marlins.com/promotions. Jim Leland bobblehead on Sunday, Hall of Fame manager for the first 8,000. So just real quickly, a lot of good stuff. You don't have plans this weekend, you're going to be hanging out because you don't want to travel because you found out half the United States is going to be on planes and it's going to be a show out there at those airports. I'm guilty of that, right? You ever do that, Woody? Like your travel and you realize the whole world's traveling at the same time. And then,
yeah, but you have issues regardless.
Then you have frustration of, yeah.
It could be a quiet day and you have issues traveling.
You got to be able to find a direct flight as close to where you're going as possible. There's no guarantees once you have to stop at one airport to get to the next destination, man. It's never good. Just never, ever good. All right, so we got Clayton McCullough going to join us here in just a couple of minutes, so we'll get all caught up here. But, yeah, we'll also get back here, 305-567-0560. Woody, what do we got mostly coming in before I go to break here on the Jalen Ramsey,
John? I can't really give you a mostly, Joe, because everyone's all over the map with this thing.
By the way, we've had
season ticket holders text in that we had one guy that just said he's done.
Okay.
Just can't take it anymore, which is understandable.
By the way, it took this that you were had nothing to do with last year.
I don't. It's tough, man. Because look, I think everyone is in agreement the team is not going to be very good.
Well, you gotta play the games before you just decide. You keep saying that. You said they're gonna win. You said
they're
gonna win
tickets and your checks will clear. But I just
you
think,
said they're gonna win 4 or 5 games. You want to put your money?
Four.
What'd you say?
I said 4, 5, 6, or 7.
you're the most gutless morning guy of all time.
You know,
4. Well, 5. Well, you know, 7.
I think losing record.
Oh, there you go.
Record, yes.
8 and 9. Well, 8 and 9's not good. Back to back 8 and 9.
8 and 9 would be good for this team.
That wouldn't be good.
Be good enough to keep everyone, right?
Nah, it wouldn't be good.
Run it back?
No, that would not be good. 8 and 9's are not good. 8 and 9's are.
Chris will find a way to spin it.
No, there's no way. That's not good. That's not even good on a bio.
We had some
8, 9 injuries.
We'll get them next year.
No. You're trying to get creative on me here this morning, and that's not going to do it. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. Marlins manager, Skip, will join us there. Clayton McCullough, when we come back, we'll talk some Marlins baseball. Oh, man, they're fun to watch. They are really, really fun to watch. Hey, I do want to take a second to talk to you about some things that are pretty serious and could hit you at any time. You never know. Let's be real life about this. When real life hits you hard, anxiety, depression, maybe the drinking's gotten out of hand, doesn't mean you're weak. It just means you're human. Recovery Unplugged in Fort Lauderdale. These folks, they get it. They really do. They've helped 19,000 people in 13 years with treatment for mental health and substance abuse led by expert doctors and therapists who build a plan around you and your situation. Inpatient, outpatient, virtual care, whatever works, we want to get you great results. Most insurance is accepted. Need a reset? Recovery Unplugged is your spot. Call 954-737-4508 or visit recoveryunplugged.com. Recovery Unplugged. Heal out loud.